Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, August the 18th, 2026, 17 minutes past the hour. Glad to be with you on this little chilly, 64 degrees and partly sunny skies, Tuesday morning. Not chilly for any other time of the year, but chilly for the month of August. You know, when I started the show this morning, my theme song was playing there, and I wasn't sure if the mic was on or not. So there was a little stutter step as we started the program this morning, but that's okay. Nothing's perfect. Live is live. Now, I'm going to rant a little bit this morning, and it has nothing to do with government. Well, not really. But what they are doing on Route 95 with the traffic, holy mackerel. There's a stretch of Route 95, and a lot of Route 95 is being worked on now, and of course the roads need to be worked on, and lines need to be repainted, and so on and so forth. But there is a stretch of 95, and I can never remember a time where 95 was this blocked off. From, it's right after McDonald's, right up through the plaza. And they've got it down to one lane of traffic if you're going west. If you're going into Marion. And the problem is, in that little stretch where they're working on, there is a left-hand turn that depends on the light. If you want to turn onto University by the college there, you've got to have no traffic coming in the opposite direction. Now, normally that's no problem because that's a turn lane, and you've still got two other lanes that you can continue to go west on, or in, I should say. But one lane of traffic means there's just the turn lane. Now, you don't have to turn, because they've got it down to one lane with all the orange traffic cones. But if a car is waiting to turn, which, you know, when the traffic's heavy on Route 95, Marion, Mount Vernon, Marion, Mount Gilead Road, Mount Vernon Avenue, whatever you want to call it, only one car can really turn every light change, because there's a light there as well at University and 95. So you end up sitting there forever waiting to get through. Now, in the mornings, it's not as bad. It was a little rough this morning, but nothing too terrible. But last evening, I took 95 to go to the city council meeting, and I sat there for at least 15 minutes, and the traffic was not moving at all. I finally had to go down University on the other side, go down to 309 and take 309 down to Center Street and to City Council that way. And there's construction on Center Street, losing a lane of traffic. So it's a mess right now, and they're still working on the overpass out on Route 23 on 95, so there's a little bit of mess going on there. I understand everybody wants to get all this done before winter comes, but holy mackerel, what all this going on at the same time on two of the busiest roads in Marion is really causing problem. So especially with school going back in session. I mean, you've got Marion City Schools, some of them starting tomorrow. I believe River Valley starts tomorrow. That's on 95 now. Tri-Rivers, I believe, would be starting this week as well. That's right in the middle of it all on Route 95. So it's going to be a mess if the schools start and they don't have this taken care of. Now, they certainly are not going to have the overpass taken care of, but maybe they'll have this one lane of traffic on 95 from McDonald's to the plaza taken care of. Has anybody else noticed this, or is this just a rant that I have because this is on my path to the radio station? Maybe it's just me. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, I'm getting a message this morning that River Valley started today. So there you go. It's trouble. And I'm getting also word that the road closures stink, and they didn't use the word stink. They didn't use a profane word, but they didn't use a word. They didn't use the word stink from one of our listeners out there this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how are you, other than irate about traffic?
Well, you know, I don't live in Columbus, so I wouldn't think I'd have to sit in traffic that long.
It's a hot mess out there.
Oh, it's 95, where they've got it down. I don't know why. I understand they've got to repaint the roads or whatever they're doing. But there's no way you can take Route 95 down to one lane on one side of the road and not cause a horrific mess.
I was at Walmart around 5 p.m. yesterday. I needed to pick up a couple of things, and then we were going out to Menards. And the intersection in front of Walmart to go over to Chase or to turn right or to turn left, it was traffic was backed up past that, and we actually had to leave at like the GFS Panda Express exit to go down to Menards. So that's how busy, or how, I guess busy wouldn't be the word, how stopped, how backed up, congested that area was.
Well,
and it was for the reason that you said people were trying to turn left onto University to get to the 529 Richland Road, whatever area, and like one car could go at a time, and people were not clearing the intersection. So.
Well, and that's the thing of it all, is that I understand this stuff has to be done, and I could even give them a pass for going down to one lane, I guess, as much as I don't like it, because it does slow up traffic. But when it's between 3 and 6 o'clock, like it was last night, it's less bad in the morning. But
I've been there already once this morning, and even people going to work, it's not pleasant, but no, it was nothing like it was yesterday.
No, but there's no way when you have a turn that there's no arrow that's dependent on a light, and traffic is coming from the west
they
to the east.
They probably really should just eliminate the left-hand turn right now and force you to, like, go around and come up on, like, down Phoenix and up University, you know what I mean? And make
they should block that off. They should, while they're doing this road work, they should block University off from that side, and because you can go down to 529 and get there pretty easily, and it would stop that congestion, because when you've got, and it's not a long stretch of road that they've got blocked off, but because of that turn, it's causing all kinds of trouble.
It's got, two turn lanes and two lanes of travel, so it's like six lanes that they, well, and then if you get the whole intersection, you got, I think I heard once that University and 309, that area right through there is the busiest intersection in Marion County. So they're doing, they've got that down to one lane. How's that? The busiest intersection in Marion County down to one lane.
Well, and also I'm being told this morning from two of our listeners that River Valley started today, which would explain why, because it's bad there when school's in session anyway.
The juniors, the sophomores, they have a couple sophomore programs out there. The sophomores and the juniors started at Tri-Rivers today also.
Well, and there you go. And maybe that's why today was far worse than yesterday, because they're both on 95. And, mm-hmm. You know, that...
And it was foggy.
It was a rough morning.
I had to send my... Okay, dears, I'm having a moment. I need some comforting here. As an acquaintance, I need you emotional comfort here. It's been a rough day already. The last first day of school that my son actually left the house, he was in fourth grade, and that was in 2019, and then COVID struck, and then we decided to stick with at-home learning, and he'd done some blended stuff at Grant, like he would go in for a few hours a day and for music and that stuff, but all of his academics have been done at home, and this morning he got up, got himself ready, and drove himself to school for the first time, and I didn't even ask for a picture because I knew he would refuse, but I did make him hug me.
So how do you feel about all this?
Oh, I cried.
Well, I know, but I mean last first day?
No, he's got one more.
Oh, this junior. You're right. Okay, junior.
His next... Jeez, Spears, don't make me hit the floor.
Well, no, we're only a year away from that, you know.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. I'll never emotionally recover from that for the next year.
No, I think... That's interesting.
I wanted to talk about traffic for a second, though, because unfortunately I believe that someone was killed on my street last night. I know they were seriously injured and left in an ambulance, and the State Highway Patrol was here investigating the accident for hours afterwards. And you know as well as I do, because you have sat through the council meetings where I have begged and I have borrowed and I have yelled and I have ranted and I have asked and for something to be done about the traffic on this street. And I have told them, I've already seen people killed. Please don't make me see another person killed. Well, I don't know if the man died or not, but I watched the paramedics do CPR on someone in the middle of the street last night. And the issue now was they had dug... They're working on our 120-year-old sewers, because our sewers over here are from 1906. They had dug down into the sewer, and I know they're probably... Mine was 10 feet, more than 10 feet into the ground when we got to it. Left a hole in the middle of the street, and they, you know, they put their little barricade around it half-assed, but they didn't shut down the entire street. And on my drag strip last night, somebody came rip-roaring down through here, blew through the barricade because pitch black, couldn't see it, and their motorcycle was all mangled up over on the barricade that they had around the hole in the ground, but I don't believe the person survived. And I told them at City Hall, I told them that someone was going to be killed on this street again, and I told them that when it happened, I would be screaming it from the rooftops, and sadly, it has happened. They didn't have any flashing lights on it or anything. The road wasn't completely barricaded. You could still go around it with a giant hole in the middle of it. And I have been, for almost 18 months at least, I know, they have done traffic studies. They have found that people go 80 miles an hour down through here. They will, all it takes is anybody else going up to City Council one time and mentioning something. We got school crossing zones. We got left-hand turn signs. We got everything else. I've got dead bodies on my street. I've got property damage, cars totaled, everything else. Is it going to take a dead kid? That's what I'm wondering. Is that their line? Is that their threshold? Because we've got dead adults. Maybe it takes a dead kid for them to come over here and do something.
Well,
I am furious that I had to see this. I mean, obviously I'm heartbroken, but I'm furious because a speed bump would have slowed that man down to the point that he couldn't have gone through that barricade and died.
Well, no, it's a horrible situation. But, you know, years ago, I used to live on South Prospect, just beyond the hospital there. And the way that cars, trucks, because trucks would go that way because they couldn't go down Delaware Avenue.
And Sims, and go to Sims Brothers also.
And they would fly down that road at a rate. And people's yards are just feet from the street. And
I talked campaign literature over there, and I was astounded at the semis, the way they would go past, because you could feel, like, the concussion of them going past you, like, you know, blow your clothes, kind of blow your hair back, that if you'd been 2 feet further, you might have been knocked over.
Oh, in the house, which was, you know, a decent amount off the road, I mean, you could hear every time a truck went down the road, because it makes some noise, but they were going so fast, you could just hear it. And I know, I mean, I don't ever remember seeing an accident there. I'm sure one happened, but I remember animals getting killed in the road because it happens so fast, they can't even get out of the way. And it's an awful, awful place to be right there before the fork in the road that you can take. And
on my street, we've had 3 stoplights taken out due to cost, because they needed repaired, and due to cost, they took them out. They took them out at Oak Street. They took them out at Leader Street. And they took them out down by the school. And Oak Street's been gone forever. So I don't even believe that was over here when I lived here. But a neighbor was telling me about it. The one on Leader, they took it out. And believe it or not, accidents reduced. I think people used to try to beat the lights. But they've taken out light after light after light. Traffic control device after traffic control device. And they've done nothing to control traffic except for throw up a couple of stop signs. Now, I remember when King Welcome came into office, they had so many speed bumps on Church Street that people would, I mean, you just avoided it because you didn't want your front end ripped to pieces. And then they turned that into permanent stop signs. They threw stop signs up down on Lee Street and didn't even ask city council permission. They just threw them up because the people down there asked for them. I have dead bodies on my street, and is it because of me? I wish they would remove me from the equation and think about all the other people that live here.
Well, I mean, they never did it before, so I doubt it's because of any one person. I think it's probably a situation that, unfortunately, like I said, there are a lot of streets here. They've never fixed South Prospect. I don't know I don't know how they could do it. Because when I lived there, I mean, this is 15, 20 years ago now, and they've still never done anything about it, and there are still houses there where kids play in the front yard and so on and so forth. It's one of those things where I think you can't fix everything, and
I'm a quarter of a mile away from beautiful downtown Marion, you know? So people want to know why I'm so just angry. I watch millions and millions and millions of dollars be poured in a quarter of a mile away. Meanwhile, I've got bodies piling up on my street, and I can't. They'll do the traffic studies. They'll talk about them. They don't ever do anything. They've done two traffic studies on my street. Nothing. I've got neighbor's car, one of my tenants, my neighbor. I mean, they just missed my car by feet. They sideswiped their car to the point that it busted their axle and totaled their car. Another neighbor, just all they got out of that was some property damage. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've been rear-ended and people have just taken off or they abandoned the car. I can't tell you how many mirrors I've lost. A speed bumper too strategically placed would stop that. If this is happening in Mark Russell's neighborhood, or this was happening in Bill Collins' neighborhood, or this was happening in Sean Barr's neighborhood, or Danny Clark's neighborhood, or Ralph Smith's neighborhood, they would have speed bumps. Us over here in the hood, we can go up there. We'll give you your traffic study so you'll shut up and go away. You know, somebody over in Fair Park comes and asks for something. They don't even live in the city, and we got a hold of the county, so the county would put up a sign about a left-hand turn, okay? One of Sean Barr's students from Buckeye Community School comes up and asks for a sign over there by the school. I mean, it's done within the same week. I've been asking for over 18 months for them to do something. We've had a car totaled. I had somebody wipe out face first in front of my house on one of those damn scooters. And now I've got another dead person in this 18 months. So I don't know what else I can possibly do to make them do something over here. Well, I don't know what it takes. But if people want to know why, I just happen to be the vocal one. But if people want to know why we're so angry, we watch all the money be poured 15 miles an hour on Main Street. We found out that's not even legal. But they changed that speed limit for Luke Henry, made that 15 miles an hour so everybody could get old Duke Lenry's businesses slowed down and stop and look. I've got dead bodies. I can't get anybody to do anything.
Well, what does Nathan Stevenson say? He's your councilman.
I'll have to talk to Mr. Stevenson because he hasn't really been around long enough to address the traffic issue. But Sean Barr, the one that called me a stupid bitch, is the head of the traffic commission.
No, I think Nathan is now.
I've been bringing this to his attention for 18 months, and he's not done a damn thing.
Well,
traffic studies.
I think your councilman is the head of the committee now.
I think I'm going to get a hold of him. I think you just reminded me of that.
Yeah.
But nice of Barr to pass that off, and I will get a hold of my councilman, but it shouldn't have come to this point. And I hope that the family contacts me, because I hope they sue the city. And I hope I get to testify in a trial, in court, under oath.
You know, I don't know what... See, I don't know... There are so many...
I'm buying speed bumps, and we can have this war in court, City of Marion. I'm buying them myself with my own money, and I will install them on your streets, and you can take me to jail. That's where I am.
Well, what is the... I mean, you say you have a good relationship with Safety Service Director Cal. This is his neck of the woods. What's he say about it?
I haven't talked to him yet, but you've seen him up there in the traffic committees, too.
But, I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. So, I don't know. I don't know what else to do, Scott. Sort of laying down in the road and making myself a human speed bump or buying speed bumps, I don't know what else to do. But now there's another dead person, and I hope the people sitting up at City Hall, or I hope one of them at least has an inkling of guilt that maybe they could have done something to prevent this.
Well,
but they don't. I'm sure. Well, I can't say that. I hope they do. I hope it's consuming them today.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what comes of this as far as where whatever happened last night, why it happened, and what the police report says.
Well, I know the State Highway Patrol was out there, and obviously, like you said, we need to see the police report, but the State Highway Patrol came out to investigate it. And how often do you see that in the city?
Well, that's true, but I think these reports are necessary, I think, to see what exactly happened, because there are a lot of those places in Marion, unfortunately, and I think the problem is, we learned last night during the city council meeting, which, by the way, if anybody's interested, nothing of pertinence went on there last night. There was nothing huge or pending that happened during committee meetings, but Like we found out last night that Main Street, that the stretch of Main Street that had been turned to 15 miles an hour, well,
at the request of Luke Henry,
which cannot be done. So it's going to go back to 25 miles.
State of Ohio said it cannot be done.
Can't be done. So please change that back. So it is going to be changed back. So that's about.
People change the parking too. You think we're allowed to have? Isn't that like a state route? I think we're allowed to have single lane.
I don't think it is a state route there. Because that is the city that is downtown. I think it's a state route. Another it's like 95. You know, part of
then
it's Mount Vernon.
Why would be allowed to have a 15 mile an hour? Why would ODOT be allowed to regulate that?
Well, I don't think you could have I don't know. I'm not with ODOT, but I don't think you can have a 15 mile an hour stretch on
public.
A. Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't think you can do that. And I think that's what happened.
Like 20 is the minimum, and that's a school zone, right?
Right. Right. Right, and I think that's only under certain circumstances.
And I've got dead bodies piling up on my street, and we can't get them to do anything. So if anyone wants to know where the contrast and the anger lies, that's some of it right there. Just the haves versus the have-nots. And the have-nots are over here getting killed while the haves are up there trying to get people to slow down so they can come buy from businesses so they can collect rent on the building. And that's that. And I'm very sorry to the family of that man. You know, and yes, we need to see the report, but I can tell you the condition that they created down there was unsafe. There weren't any flashing lights. Tell you that the road was barricaded. It wasn't barricaded completely across, so you would have been able to drive around it anyway. It was dark. There were no street lights right down in that area. They had to turn fire trucks sideways and use the lights from the side of the fire truck to light up the scene. That's how poorly it was lit down there. So, you know, and people are already making the comments, oh, he was speeding, he was drinking, he was this. I don't know any of those things. None of us know any of those things. But I know that the conditions that he came upon were unsafe, even if you were sober and in a car, that you wouldn't know until you were right up on it. And so if you were impaired or speeding, that would make that situation even worse. So it's crazy how people are just so willing to assign blame to someone that lost their life, but not the fact that the city created an unsafe environment. Well, it's not the city's fault he was speeding. Well, how do you know he was speeding? Were you there? You know, but, they're so willing to assign blame to a dead person, but they don't want to put any bit of blame on the city at all. That's just not within the realm of possibility. So I don't understand that either. Regardless of whether he was impaired or speeding, he wouldn't have been able to hit the giant hole in the road if the giant hole in the road wasn't there.
Well, no, but I think part of that is social media, and God knows we've had a long conversation about this, but I think most of social media is driven by anger, and most of social media is driven by contrariness, and most of the people on social media are advocates for something. And in this case, it sounds like they're advocates for the city or what. I don't know.
Sometimes I think people comment just to comment.
Well, as I said yesterday,
they need to be part of the conversation, and they'll add something that it doesn't make sense or it's not well thought out. Like, one guy's like, the city can't stop people from speeding. Okay, and they can't stop people from driving around barricades. No, but they sure could light the thing up and let you know it was there, couldn't they?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'm going to say this regardless this morning or not, which is obviously a little bit of a different subject here, which is the flock camera thing, just to give the people the update that we have not heard about the veto as of yet.
He wasn't going to announce it yesterday because there were probably people there that wanted to give him hell. Next Monday, there's no city council meeting because it's the fifth Monday. I imagine it'll come around then, so he won't have to deal with
it. Is it the fifth Monday next week?
Yes.
Really? Already?
No, I'm wrong.
There's a council meeting next week, I think.
Yep, I was wrong.
No, but I guess what I'm saying... Last night was a very subdued room. Last night was a very, I mean, it was half full, maybe. There was nothing of huge importance on the agendas. And
I thought that software. I have questions about that software.
Well, you and Rob Smith.
Well, it's not that I don't think we shouldn't buy it, because I believe that we do need it, an upgrade. We probably needed one a while ago. We have software from 2008, and, you know, financial software ages quickly, so the fact that we're still using it is, it's very telling. But we just spent $80,000 on ADP, like, a year or so ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Are we keeping ADP? Because it sounded like we were getting rid of ADP.
Well, this change is going to happen over 15 to 18 months.
Yeah, but we'd spent $18,000 for ADP because it was the best thing ever, and now we're getting a different payroll system. And, like I said, it makes sense, but I don't understand why the courts are contributing to financial software. I have that question, and I just couldn't make it last night. But I don't understand how, because that's specialized money. That's money that the courts collect for their own computer fees. And it's set aside specifically for that purpose, so I don't understand how the court buying accounting software falls into that line of...
Well, that's purpose. I think it's a long conversation, because this is software, for people who weren't there last night, software that the city wants to buy to replace
accounting
the software they have that...
Mm-hmm.
That they feel is not working, and the state feels is not working for them.
You probably didn't catch it, because I heard it on the live stream, and you probably didn't hear it from where you were. I think it was Rollins that said the state basically said, get rid of this.
Yes, yeah, that was brought up, that they said this is not a good idea. But as far as the veto goes, I thought last night was the perfect time, because when I looked back around at that room, I thought, there's hardly anybody here. I mean, who's going to get up and give him any kind of blowback on this? And we don't even know if he's going to veto the legislation as of yet. So I thought last night would have been a good time, because time is running low on this right now, to say the least. I mean, he's got to make a decision at some point. And that would have been a good place, because now it's going to have to come via press release, I would guess. I don't know.
That'll go over like a lead balloon, won't it?
Well, I just felt like, you know, the longer this thing goes, as I addressed it yesterday, I will never vote on this. It doesn't really... It's not one of the big issues in my life, nor are anything that I would mention on this program as far as politics. But the point is, it's become a civics lesson. And two things happened yesterday in regard to this that I found very interesting. Number one, somebody planned a protest at City Hall last night to protest the mayor's veto. And you know... I got there rather early last night, probably between 5:15 and 5:30. This protest was supposed to happen at 5 o'clock. There were maybe two people there. I saw one, maybe two. So this is not, but that's not just, listen, if you do that, do that. But the point is that I have also saw the crowds die off over the weeks. There was one week where it was standing room only, and then as time has went on, even when the vote was taken, the crowd was progressively getting smaller. So it seems to me
that
this...
I didn't expect that to happen.
No, I understand
that.
That
makes sense to me.
But if this is your issue, if this is driving people insane, if there was nothing going on the night that all those people showed up. You know, I mean, that wasn't the night that the panel was there. You would have thought the panel would have drawn more people, but it didn't. And
well, that's because we'd already done the panel thing before. We'd already You know, Thad made a statement, or I think he might have given the statement to you, that said he felt like they were beating a dead horse. I mean, what would another two readings have done that hadn't already been accomplished?
It would have done what everything else with three readings does. Give the people a chance to say something if they want to say it, because I really do feel that the people who want these have not had the chance to do this.
Well, when are they going to speak up? Because we've been talking about it since March, and everybody keeps saying, oh, the silent majority. Well, how long do they plan on staying silent? And are we sure they're really the majority? I mean, the vocal minority didn't have to be lured out. Why does the silent majority? I mean, if they really think they're the numbers, there's power in numbers, right? If they really think they're the majority, then speak up.
Well, here's what happened.
Speak up and stop letting the vocal minority speak for you.
Well, as you have said, apparently people need to be drawn out through social media. And
okay.
I don't think
Where's the silent majority? They don't
have
social media?
Well, to my knowledge, in Marion, on this issue, no group was endorsing it or saying it was a good thing until last Friday.
Our commissioner came out and said it.
Last Friday. So, I don't think, and by that point, the vote had already happened, which, as you said, nobody expected to happen. So I think that's part of the problem here. But I would, if there is outrage over this veto, which allegedly is what this protest was about, if there is, I mean, he could have vetoed it last night. We are ticking down on that. Well, where were the people last night? And
people got jobs.
Well, okay, but I guess they didn't a few weeks ago when the room was full. I think what is happening here more and more is that this is an issue that is paralleling a national issue. And I think as people read those national stories, it got people off the couch. But I think beyond that, people don't have a long staying power for an issue like this.
You're right.
And I don't think it's there anymore. And honestly, if Bill Collins vetoed this tomorrow or later on today, there would be backlash on social media like everything else. But it wouldn't be anything he would see. It wouldn't be anything.
Oh, he would see it. He would see it.
He would see some. He wouldn't see much. I don't believe that room would be full.
People are angry nationally. State, locally, we're struggling. Things are getting more expensive. Our salaries are not increasing as quickly as the cost of living. We're frustrated with the cost of gas, oil. We're constantly all at each other's throats. And it's kind of like flock is the one thing that at the federal, state, and national, local level, we can all rail against. You know what I mean? Like, it's the one thing that we can all agree on. It's local, state, federal, we all agree it's bad. But we all need something to be angry at, and right now it's easy to direct your anger at that.
Right.
That's my thought on
but
it.
But
you know, things are very uneasy and uncertain. It's the local level. People don't understand local politics. I'm not saying this. People in general don't pay attention as much to local politics as they do state and national politics.
Well,
so
here's the thing.
When you go into fiscal emergency and things, they get scared. And you know what? Block is something we can all rally around.
Here's
easy to point at.
Here's what bothers me. And this is what I'll say with that protest. And if the protest was poorly planned or planned at a bad time, I don't know. That goes on.
It does take time to plan. You can't just be like, hey, let's go protest. I mean,
but people think there's such an outrage for these issues, and social media drives this story so much that
you
can...
There's a protest August 29th. I can't remember if it's the courthouse or at the Harding Memorial. There's a protest August 29th, Marion County.
Well, August 29th, I imagine we'll know the veto by that point.
Well, yes, but we'll also get the, I think we'll get a better taste of the political temperature in Marion.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at that point, I guess, what is the protest at this point? We don't even know what the mayor has done or is going to do.
Oh, right, exactly. That's why I said I'm not going to protest something that hasn't happened yet. I'm going to try to organize people to give him their opinion.
But I guess here's the point. The point I want to make is this. This is not a story that is moving. Now, right now, it's not moving because we don't know. What do we know in the last 8 days? We know that council voted to ban the flock cameras in Marion to be used by city employees, and that the mayor could possibly veto it. There has been no. There has been no new information on that story since then. But yet, if you went to social media, people still posting things, people still bringing things up, people still doing their bit. Now, I have started to believe that this is an attack the FOP when they give their opinion. I think that this is about generating likes for people's pages. I think this is about driving traffic, because this is an issue that does it each and every time.
Okay, so let me explain my motivation behind it. Like, okay, for example, yesterday, Lee, and I like Lee, I'm not like, oh my God, I'm so mad at Lee or anything. And he and I can disagree on flock cameras. But he was getting his information from what I consider an unreliable source in Ralph Smith. And I consider him an unreliable source because he is obviously biased. And he's been
wrong. Well, I think Lee did say that he did not ask Ralph any questions.
But Ralph, I'm sure, volunteered all of that information to him. So my purpose in continuing to post things about flock is to continue to expose people to what these things actually do. That they are being misused, that people have been held at gunpoint because of they've misread. That there was a town in California that had 1,700 plus misreads because zeros and the letter O, it was misreading those, and threes and eights, and it Flock actually went as far as suggesting to the police department that they have people remove their license plate covers, not just the cover, the holder, the little rim that goes around it that says Matthews or I Love Cats or whatever. They were suggesting that people remove those to make it easier for the cameras to read their license plates so the police wouldn't have so many false hits. The police declined that because I think they knew that the public would probably be incensed. But my purpose of continuing to post those things is to show people this isn't, you know, the things that, you know, Ralph Smith is saying, that's not true. This is what's actually true. And, like, there's one guy that commented on my Facebook page, all you do is post AI-created articles about stuff that didn't even happen in Ohio. So I went to WFYX and got him the story of the two Reynoldsburg police officers that were fired for misusing flock cameras and posted that in a picture of a map that Reynoldsburg is only 47 miles away from Marion. So, you know, my purpose is education, and make the decision. If you think that these things are something that you want to keep, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. I actually think a conversation could be had about how they should be used and how they should be regulated, because they do have a value. But right now, since we don't have that, we need to, and then to Lee's point also yesterday, you know, Ralph Smith and I believe Pam Larkin also mentioned that there could be a cost to take these things down. Well, there shouldn't be a cost to go put a bag over them until we figure it out, should there?
Well, I don't think that's how this would work, because I believe
lots of other cities are doing it.
What I'm saying is the legislation that city council passed will not take effect until the mayor signs it or 30 days
would pass. Or doesn't veto, because he
right.
can just let it go into effect.
Right, a pocket veto. But mm-hmm. So that hasn't happened. So this legislation has not taken effect, so there would be no change from how business has operated for the last 3 years. So I don't know why anybody would think that the flock cameras would come down now or that they should not be in use, because there is no legislation preventing
right.
them.
Yes, and as of right now, the flock cameras are still legal. But to Mrs. Larkin's point that maybe we shouldn't take them down because it would cost us money and we don't have money, put bags over them and don't take them down. Then they're not being used.
Well, again, I don't...
I'm trying to combat that argument with, if there's a cost associated, well, I'll contribute the garbage bags. I'm afraid of heights.
Right, but I don't... But I don't think the sheriff's going to go for that, and I think that is one thing that he does have control over, is that he controlled the grant. He is the city.
And come and get him with his county money that they don't have.
But it wasn't his decision to take them down. That was council's decision.
Okay, then if we don't, I already said I'd have the bake sale to get them taken down. But if they won't accept my bake sale proceeds, maybe we can just put bags over them like everybody else is doing.
Well, I think they would have to be relocated to the county. Because I think if the sheriff would say, because of the grant that was written for a certain amount of flock cameras, I think they would have to be in use.
Now, I'm pretty sure I'll have to go back and see where I heard it, but I don't think they have, if you listen to Kevin Davidson, I don't think they have all the cameras anymore. Because I think he said a reduced number of cameras, and I asked that question that night, but I never got to finish it because I never got an answer. Because Bob Smith, we had us on the 3-minute time limit. How do we have the same amount of cameras for less money? And I'll have to go back and listen to the Davidson thing, but I'm pretty sure he alluded to us having less functioning cameras than we did.
I guess the point I'm just trying to make about this particular point is what this has become at this point with protests and posts every day, sometimes 5 posts a day, you know, from people, is that this is, people like to comment on this. People like to follow this. People like to like these.
I try to only do 1 flock post a day because I don't want people to be overwhelmed with...
Well, no, I'm not saying you specifically.
No, but I'm telling you my own perspective is that I try not to hit 15 articles a day about the same topic.
No, but you don't see this out there? I mean, you don't see that people...
I block from most of those pages.
Well, I don't even know. I don't like the pages. I'm not even following these pages. They just pop up because other people share a lot of this stuff. And it's the only issue where I have ever seen that happen. So again, somebody has figured out that this is a driver.
It's the Great Uniter. I'm calling Flock the Great Uniter.
Well, I don't know. I think it's become a divider because I don't think attacking the FOP for just giving their opinion was...
I don't have a problem with the FOP taking a stance in something that they believe helps their officers. What I have a problem with is the county commissioner coming out and representing the FOP and not the citizens of Marion. Either he represents them, that group of 160 people, their interests first, or he represents the taxpayers of the city of Marion's interests first.
But I'm sure Kevin Davidson, much like any other politician, he's 1 of 3. I'm sure if you asked him as a county commissioner, do you think the flock cameras should come down, he would say no. The mayor has said that.
Because he's, yes, and what's their retired profession, Scott?
Right, but I mean, I don't understand his position.
Elections have consequences.
Right.
This is what we get when we put retired law enforcement in charge of everything.
Right, but I guess my question is, what would be the difference in his position as a county commissioner and his position as the head of the FOP?
He wouldn't be the head of the FOP if he weren't retired law enforcement.
Well, he is.
Okay, so he wrote that letter. All 160 people in my organization are pro-flock. Okay, you go to that comment section, and 150 plus of the people that are Marion, I would assume, are Marion County constituents. There's 150 people in that comment section that he doesn't represent.
Well, I don't know. I don't
see what I'm saying. But I mean, if they're Marion County residents and they're anti-flock, and he doesn't represent them,
but you can't represent
the interest.
But
he's
so are
the interests of the FOP.
But,
so are you choosing the 65,000, or are you choosing the let's even go 50-50. Are you choosing the 35,000 residents that don't want these things, or are you choosing the 160 cops and their families that do?
But I would imagine a good portion of the FOP are members of this county. So I think you represent who you represent, and you make your decision based on that. And I don't...
Okay, well, then he should represent whoever he gets the fattest check from. How's that?
Well, but again, I still don't know I think this issue is very complicated because here's the issue we're going to get into, and then we got to go to break. The problem is this. Okay, if we're saying that the way city council votes, because this is a representation of the people, if we're saying that's true, then because we elected these people and these people's decisions are the right decisions, then we got to go back and every decision that was criticized by city people criticized city council for, then we've got to say they were the right, that was the right decision because they made it. But that's not true. They were criticized over vetoing legislation to get updates on the bus. No, I guess they made the right decision because city council voted for it. You know, they made the decision to give $10,000 in the park for a party. We got to stop complaining about that. City council voted for it. It was the right thing to do. We got to say all that's the right thing to do because that's what we're saying about this with much smaller votes.
Not everything is an absolute. Not everything is an absolute, and I know it's time for break, but no. One, just because they gave $10,000 to the park does not mean that them voting for oversight on the bus, those are not the same.
But those votes were 8-1. This vote was 5-4. You'd have to say those votes were more convincing than this one.
That's when Collins definitely had the rubber stamp vote up there.
Well, see, but we can't do that because we've got to say that if we're going to say that council's votes.
We've had changed 5 council members since those votes were going down. 5 council members have changed, and we've only had one election.
Right. No. And you know what? That's fine. And the decisions are the decisions, but we've got to say at the time, those were the elected officials, and the elected officials are a representation of the citizens. That's what we're saying now.
Yep.
So their votes are their votes, and they're right.
Robert Landon. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, there you go. We got to go to break. We'll be back.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs.